Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for peace in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, and with me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike, beautiful, beautiful Mike. How you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fine, but I'm trying to rehydrate, so I'm just having a soda water.
You disappoint me, sir.
I spent the entire day outside shooting guns, and I am very thirsty.
I spent 3 days on a 49cc scooter seeing the great lighthouses of America last weekend. I have a sunburn that goes right down to my bone marrow, and yet I'm still drinking scotch. Josh, we're moving on from him. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing good. I'm still drinking my banana-flavored Hefeweizen, which apparently disgusts you because you don't like bananas.
I really don't like bananas. I wish I did. They're so good for so many things, but I just don't like bananas. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am dead tired, but I am drinking some Basil Hayden's.
Basil Hayden's.
I wish I could just lie down in a pool of the Basil Hayden's. I am so dead tired.
Well, that's right. Your wife is back in town. You must have very few fluids left in your body.
It's true. It's true, Tommy.
Good man. I'm glad she's back in town. She spent the semester away teaching. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ah, it's great to have her back. We all miss you, Eileen. We'll all get together for dinner soon. So you're dead tired?
I am dead tired.
Speaking of dead tired, today we're going to be talking about Deadpool. Specifically Deadpool 2. We all finally had a chance to go see the movie. First and foremost, I suppose we should say, great movie or greatest movie of all time? Mike?
Yeah. Second best Deadpool movie ever.
Okay.
True.
Josh? True?
I'm going to go with Mike. Yeah, second best Deadpool movie of all time.
I'm going to concur.
Actually, I think I like this one slightly better because I liked the other heroes in it. And any movie is always enhanced by a scooter chase because I love scooters.
That's fair.
So I'm slightly, you know, the scooter chase kind of put it over the top for me. Plus, I love seeing Cable. I love seeing all the other superheroes. It was a mad romp for me. Mike, so you only saw it, man? Do you want to go into more detail on that, or do you want to just jump in?
Well, let's do the spoiler warning first for all our listeners.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, do something else.
Then come back.
Yeah, and then listen. Then come back and listen to this. Definitely come
by,
back.
By do something else, he means go see the movie.
Yeah.
I was thinking about masturbating, but the movie sounds good, too.
All right.
Just play that in the movie.
All right, so if you're back now, you've seen the movie and probably masturbated. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Wipe yourself off.
Seriously, wash your hands, people. We're not monsters.
So are we going to jump right into the story, or do we want to break down a few characters? We want to break down a little bit of Deadpool first.
I say, Tom, you give us the general outline of the story. Go for it.
General outline of the story goes something like this. The hero's journey for Deadpool. Deadpool is on a mission. He's trying to get right with his girlfriend, and he's trying to maybe have a baby. Something horrible happens. Since we've already said spoilers, we'll let you know that the Yakuza break in and do kill Vanessa. Terrible.
Was it the Yakuza?
Well, Yakuza-ish.
Yeah. No.
Yakuza light?
No, it's the Russians who break in, right?
I said Rakuza. I don't know. Some mobs just come in and they kill Vanessa.
Maybe the Ukrainians. We don't
know. Yeah. Georgians. Yeah. Could be either one. American Georgians or Georgian Georgians.
That could be a Georgian.
I always thought they were Armenian.
Could be.
Be Armenian. They did have that bad truck-ass look.
They did have a swarthy air about them.
They did indeed. Yeah.
So, Wade Wilson, in a fit of angst, kills everyone associated with the murder of his beloved, except for the one person he can't murder, and that's himself. So he tries to commit suicide, and he fails miserably. When he finally gains consciousness after trying to kill himself, he wakes up at X-Men Mansion with Colossus. Colossus is doing his best to rehabilitate his good friend. Someone take it from there.
So blah, 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 blah. Kid's going to destroy Cable's family in the future. Cable travels back in time to kill the kid and stop it. It was a very poor plot device. It involves time travel, which is one of Josh's least favorite things.
True.
And in order to stop the kid, they're going to have to go save him from himself. It was not a great movie at all. The more I think about it, the more upset I get about it.
Stop thinking about it so much. It's supposed to be just a madcap, rompy ride. It was fun.
Deadpool,
come on.
If Deadpool wanted to save that kid from killing that headmaster, Deadpool would have killed the headmaster.
I was yelling that at the screen at the top of my lungs. Deadpool, shoot that prick.
Yeah.
This movie ends now.
It would have been really simple that way, right?
He shot the guy right next to him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right? You missed, is what I was thinking. you were right, by the way, Josh. It was Juggernaut.
Yes! I am so fucking vindicated.
Josh has been saying, I know that costume from the like a microsecond of a clip. Like the barely flash of a clip. He's like, that's Juggernaut. I'm like, what? Like, that is the
one. That is Colossus punching Juggernaut's helmet. I was so right. This guy. Totally right.
Not only were you right, but sometimes you would argue it in that voice that only angry people use when they're trying to control, like, Juggernaut's helmet, and I'm not fucking around. I know fucking Juggernaut fucking caught him.
And sometimes you'd argue it in the drunk voice, too.
Which is pretty much always.
It's Juggernaut in that movie clip. It's Juggernaut. It's definitely Juggernaut.
To Bill Brasky!
And who was it?
It was Juggernaut.
Vindicated.
Now, here's a character that you're going to have to go into a little bit, Josh, because I believe you have his bio as one of your assignments. Why was Black Tom Cassidy just kind of in the movie?
Well, look, can I take this, Josh?
Yeah.
They needed to kill the token black guy in the movie.
He wasn't African-American.
Oh, yeah,
he was just culturally appropriate. Sure. He wasn't even culturally appropriating the Irish.
That's the whole reason that Cable killed him, is because Cable's a racist. I think that was established easily in that movie.
I think that was a great subplot comedy point, but I don't think Cable was a racist.
But that's why they picked him.
A lot of great little inside jokes like that. Cable being a racist. Hi, Yukio. A lot of little bon mots of hilarity that I loved. Black Tom Cassidy, though, a great Marvel villain who never gets to use his power. I don't think I saw him use his power.
He does not get to use his power at all.
You know why? Because there's no Blackthorn sticks around.
Well, no, he can do it through any kind of wood, but he is in the prison with enough power. He's got the dampener on, and then freaking Cable shoots him in the head.
Which, by the way, the power dampener works on mutants, right?
Yeah.
Why was it affecting Juggernaut?
That's why he was in the Thing. He was completely encased. They couldn't keep him in general because they couldn't put the power damper on him because he is magic powered rather than mutant. Yep.
Mike thought he had a really good point there, but he didn't.
No.
No, you were actually wondering? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to the break. So they go to save this kid. Cable's trying to kill this kid. There's a huge prison break where Deadpool and this kid are imprisoned. They are hilarious cellmates, by the way. With the power dampener on, Deadpool has no powers, which means his cancer is killing him again. Until his collar is removed during this awesome prison break, Deadpool is pretty much depowered. Cable comes, the collar gets snapped off, and all hell breaks loose. And hilarity ensues. Cable's trying to kill the kid. Deadpool's trying to save the kid. The kid's just trying to save himself and befriends Juggernaut. Anyone want to take it from there?
Sharpening the toothbrush.
Let us not forget that the kid, Rusty, has snuck in a pen in which he is using, he's sharpening into a shank, because he knows that in prison you have to have a shank.
And what does he call the orifice that he keeps that shank in? That is his prison pocket.
Prison pocket.
That's right. He has a pen in his prison pocket.
By the way, why was a kid from New Zealand in the U.S.?
Foreign exchange student. Why not?
Because ICE separated from his parents when they came into this country. He ended up in a camp and then ended up in that orphanage.
All right, that makes sense.
That tracks.
If anyone's listening who's a member of that organization.
Mike, it was a tent city or the orphanage? It was one or the other, so they sent him to the orphanage.
The torture orphanage.
The torchinage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the kid doesn't escape. Cable is thrown off the side of a cliff, along with Deadpool. Deadpool decides in a number of visions that his mission in life is to save this kid. And he tries to get the rest of the X-Men to help him. That's a pretty funny scene.
Yeah.
You guys are giving me nothing here.
Nothing.
Come on, they open the door like, I can't believe there's only two X-Men here. Like, the studio is so cheap, there's only two X-Men. And then you see the room, happy birthday, Charles.
And they close
and
the door.
And all stuff in this room, and they see Deadpool, and they just kind of close that door.
It was nice. I like that.
Well done.
Well played.
And I did like Yukio. She's one of the few mutants I didn't know whose power was. Did anyone do a bio on Yukio?
I've got Yukio.
Snaps of her, will you?
So Yukio was created by Chris Claremont and Frank Miller. She is a Ronin, masterless samurai. She's a free spirit. She was introduced in the Wolverine comic book. In the movie, she is the girlfriend of Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And in the comic book, she is mostly just portrayed as a samurai and known for her shuriken throwing abilities and her highly skilled martial arts. Whereas, you know, in the movie, she's also known for her abilities and her martial arts skills. So, and in the movie, she is dressed kind of almost like an anime character, whereas in the comic books, she's more like dressed like a punk and definitely has a lot more style and is more of a kind of live for today and a wild child sort of risk-taking character.
Is this the same Yukio from the Wolverine 4 shot?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, geez. All right. I don't remember. Wow. They really changed this character a lot.
Changed this character.
They just used the name, really.
Yeah. That's, same with Negasonic, though. Like, her power set in the show is, in the movie, is nowhere near her power set comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
so,
sure I remember that character now.
They're just making shit up.
I mean, in the comic, Yukio is the inspiration for Storm changing her look from the classic Storm the Goddess to Storm the Punk.
So that's just some kind of weird electrical power, right?
Who? Oh, Yukio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what her tactical power set in the movie was. She didn't use it that much. But, yeah, she looked like she had one of the actually very much reminded me of the Last Jedi with the swords that articulated into sort of whips and then became electrified. Yeah, it's very similar.
I kind of thought of it more of a comet or whip dart in the classical Chinese martial arts. But it was cool, and I liked seeing her, and she was really cute, and I liked her. So
they totally changed her, though, in the movie.
Absolutely, yeah. Now I didn't even recognize that the names are the same. That's the only thing to recognize. So they decide to form X-Force. So let's go over some of the cool memories of X-Force.
Yeah.
I'll talk about one of mine that I researched, which was Bedlam. Bedlam is a pretty cool character. He is a mutant with the power to disrupt electrical fields. He can use these electrical fields to track people. Everyone has their own electromagnetic signature. And he can also use it when his power is kind of on an uptick, depending on the comic book. He can also use it to make people fear or be nauseous or, you know, just interfere with their brains with an electromagnetic pulse. This power kind of goes up and down in the comic books, and it seems it's on an up on this one. Plus, he's played by Terry Crews, who is awesome. Bedlam, yeah. Very cool.
The thing I feel bad for, even Terry Crews apparently has some comments about this, that where they were filming the teasers and the trailers where Bedlam actually gets into the action and where he just dies horribly in the movie, he's like, I felt bad tricking people into liking my character before they actually came to screen, which I thought was great because, you know, it's Terry Crews and he's hilarious and he seems pretty awesome. I would love to sit down and have dinner with Terry Crews.
He's on my bucket list right there. I love Terry Crews. I think he's hilarious. He's written some really, really good articles about sexual harassment in Hollywood. He's one of the few men who's accused a producer of sexually harassing him. It was very brave of him to come out and, you know, talk about that. He was used at a party, abused by a producer who grabbed him inappropriately. And, you know, talking about something like that is difficult. Terry Crews was pretty brave about coming forth and talking about that. And he's also really funny. And also one of the few guys also to come out as a porn addict who's in recovery. It's not a joke. He writes about it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got?
Someone give me Shatterstar next.
I got Shatterstar.
Let's hear some Shatterstar.
Shatterstar. First appeared in New Mutants number 99 in 1991. In the movie, he's played by the actor Louis Tan, who's now getting an uptick in some exposure as a regular in season 3 of Into the Badlands. And as one of the only guys with a good fight scene in Iron Fist, you know who he was?
No.
The Drunken Master. He was the Drunk Master in the Iron Fist Netflix series.
Oh, okay, good.
So Shatterstar in the comics is a genetically engineered gladiator from Mojo World. He is the peak of human physical fitness, strength, agility. He's all he's very super. He's superhuman. He dodges bullets. He's superhuman. He dual wields these very cool blades. He regenerates ridiculously fast. He wears boxing headgear for no reason.
Because concussions are dangerous. That's why.
That's true. Because there's a concussion protocol even in the gladiatorial pits.
Mojo's not a monster. Technically, all right.
But he's still got to pay insurance rates like everybody else. So.
Exactly.
He can very rarely.
These things are killing me.
These guys are killing me. Look at this stuff. $4,000.
Someone put a fucking helmet on out there.
One of my made of spider parts. He can occasionally produce a massive shockwave, passing it through steel, but it leaves him exhausted. And then later on, he can apparently produce teleport portals, but I don't seem to remember that.
That was in the X Factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't remember him making portals. But okay.
I thought that was a technology thing. He stole the thing that Deadpool.
No, it's his vibration power, and he uses it to vibrate the universe through his blades, and it turns out it was an X-shaped portal. But it produces so many side effects that it would knock down buildings, so he had to do it out in the open or out in a field or not near a building or people. So he didn't really hurt people at the time. And somebody else had to be his focus. They had to know where they wanted to go. He couldn't decide. So he couldn't do it by himself.
Where do you want to go? I don't care. That's not how this works.
In the movie, he gets to parachute out and dies horribly.
All right, who's got Peter?
I've got Pete W. In the movie, played by Rob Delaney, a delightful actor. He is charming as fuck in this movie, and he is my favorite character in the movie. And they cut out a lot of the stuff that they had in the previews in the movie, which is kind of depressing. I mean, he has both type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
That did make me laugh a lot. Yeah.
Could we get him on the? We can get him on the podcast. So you'll fit right in.
Exactly. Now, in the comic books, the speculation is that he is Pete Wisdom, who is was created by Warren Ellis when he was writing Excalibur. He is a mutant who has electrical powers, but more importantly, he's a spy. And that plays a lot in – he has a bunch of run-ins in the comic books later on with Deadpool. And so this would work out well if they're setting Pete up to be Pete Wisdom, who's going to eventually fuck with Deadpool. That would be a great storyline for them to maintain. But it could just be they just thought it would be funny to have a guy named Pete with no superpowers on the team. Not really sure.
It's true. We still can't get Vanessa as copycat, so whatever.
Yeah. Or LT, didn't you have a member of X-Force on your list?
I do. I have the luckiest member of X-Force, Domino. Do you know why she's the luckiest member of X-Force? Because she was created by Fabian Nicenza and Rob Liefeld, and she doesn't have extra organs or muscle groups. Hmm. That's right. She was created by Rob Liefeld, no extra muscle groups. How lucky is that? She's pretty similar to in the comics and in the movies. She has the ability of luck. In the comics, it is in her line of sight. She can alter things so that they are in her favor. In the movie, it was just kind of more of a, I have a feeling that this is going to turn out okay sort of luck. So that's differed slightly. In the movie, she really was kind of the most helpful member of X-Force. It seemed
we can all agree that's not a superpower, right?
And by helpful, you mean the only surviving.
Yes.
Hey, they survive with a little luck and also
a little help from their friends and time travel.
A little time travel. Everybody made it out kind of alive.
Yeah, she was more long shot than Domino in the movie, though. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say that. Way more long shot than Domino.
I don't know. Domino's got a lot of the same power set.
Yeah. I think she was one of the least changed people in the movie.
Yeah.
Other than Deadpool.
Other than her look.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you knew they were going to change everybody's look.
Is that actress old enough for me to say that she's hot?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
You haven't even looked.
I've looked.
You don't know. Okay, thanks. I'm not the only one. All right.
I had a crush on Penny from Inspector Gadget when I was 19, so...
No, stop. No.
Stop.
No.
But anyways, Domino in the comics is very similar to the Domino that you see in the movie. And one of the reasons that she's there is because Domino was one of the right-hand person of Cable, who was the leader of X-Force. And so let me talk about Cable for just a little bit. Originally created by Chris Claremont, Nathan Summers. He was the child of Jean Grey's clone, Madeline Pryor, and Cyclops. Unfortunately, Cyclops is a really shitty dad. He learned it from his dad and abandons his son. Eventually, he gets infected with the techno-organic virus and gets sent to the future. When he comes back, he's a 50-something-year-old curmudgeon named Cable. Now he gets credited as being created by Louise Simonson and, of course, Rob Liefeld, because look at his costume. It's just ridiculous.
He had extra things added to him.
Yeah.
Which is definitely a Rob Liefeld creation.
And lots of pouches. That's what he loves to have in his costumes. But anyway, Cable has essentially the same powers as Jean Grey. He's a super telekinetic, probably the most powerful telekinetic there is. And he uses his powers in order to stave off the techno-organic virus. So whenever he has to actually use his powers to do something else, it means the techno-organic virus increases on him and he becomes more machine, which is why you see him in the movie creating weapons and stuff from that whole technology side that he's managing to control with his telekinesis. In the comic book, he gets a baby named Hope, who is the first mutant born after M-Day, and Cyclops declares her the future savior of mutant kind. And in order to protect her, Cable takes her into the future and then returns years later with Hope. They show Hope in the movie. They hint that perhaps Cable's wife in the future movie line story is probably the daughter of Vanessa and Wade, which is why he bothers to use his time travel device to go save Wade, so that way his wife will live. But other than that, Cable is a curmudgeon. He's much taller in the comics. And in fact, I think they make a joke about that.
They do, yeah.
And there's a long history of Cable and Deadpool. They even had their own series together.
I was able to go out and find a Rob Liefeld creation called Pouch Man, which is the ultimate Rob Liefeld creation. It is just a being made of nothing but pouches. That's how much Rob Liefeld loves pouches.
With a big gun.
With a big pouch gun that is made of pouches and shoots pouches.
Yeah, it's
so
brilliant.
I'll put that on our Twitter feed. He loves adding pouches to things. Cable's a great character, a lot of fun to see on the big screen. I like the quiet intensity that he was played with. Just a lot of fun. I like that he stayed.
He was a great straight man to Deadpool. Brolin did a great job. I can't imagine a lot of other people pulling off are doing as well as he did in that role.
Yeah. What do you think about? There's one last member of X-Force that we should talk about, Tom. That's you.
Is that me? Is that Blind Alley?
No. Talking about Vanisher.
The Vanisher. Vanisher is a terrific character. They changed his power set completely in this movie. Brilliantly played by Brad Pitt, the Vanisher has the ability usually to teleport wherever he wants. In this movie, however, he's completely invisible. You only get to see him for a few seconds when he hits the power lines, which is hilarious.
Hilarious.
The Vanisher first appears in New Mutants. X-Men something way back in the day as one of the, and becomes part of the Brotherhood of Mutants. And he shows up every now and then to wreak havoc as usually part of a supervillain team. He's not really going in his own very much. I like the Vanisher, and it was kind of nice seeing a quick little hello from Brad Pitt. Hello and goodbye.
I missed it the first time I saw the movie.
I don't know how you did. Me and LT were sitting there going, Mike told us to keep an eye out for Brad Pitt. He can't be talking about – he must be something else. That Brad Pitt must show up again somewhere because that's obviously Brad Pitt on the power lines. We didn't know why you had any ambiguity about that at all. How'd you miss it?
I looked away for a half second. Yeah. I also didn't notice the Matt Damon or Alan Tudyk in there till the second time around.
Oh, I missed Alan Tudyk. Where was Alan Tudyk?
Those were the two rednecks who Cable mugs to get their truck.
Yeah.
That was Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk.
I got Matt Damon. I missed Tudyk completely. Yeah.
That's because they're master actors.
That's right.
They got so into their role, like, I didn't even recognize them. Matt Damon, by the way, appearing in a lot of Marvel movies.
He is freaking toeing the line for something. I can't figure out what, though. What does Matt Damon want from Marvel that we don't know about?
Oh, I think we all know what he's looking to be. He wants to be the Watcher.
That's Stan Lee's job.
Yeah, that's Stan Lee's job.
Oh, Stan Lee likes doing the cameos.
Yeah.
That's why he's doing the cameos, because he's the Watcher.
Yeah.
No, Matt Damon.
That's why he's always there, knucklehead.
Matt Damon wants to actually be the Watcher, do an actual narration.
You want an Uatu movie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Never happened because the Watcher is owned by Fox.
Fox.
Plus, who'd watch that? Who watches the Watcher?
I see what you did there.
Do you?
All right. So the fight scene in the big car is really cool to me, mostly because there is a scooter chase, which I thought was cool. But also seeing Domino's powers in effect was really cool. They did a great job on that. Very cinematic. Really cool to watch.
Did anyone take Zeitgeist? Are we skipping Zeitgeist?
I didn't have Zeitgeist. Anyone have Zeitgeist?
No.
I didn't have Zeitgeist.
As that guy's pukes acid. Moving on.
Pukes acid. They actually were pretty spot on with him.
I completely forgot about that dude.
I completely forgot about that dude.
Was he ever really in X-Force? He was more in Ecstatic, right?
He was in and out. I can't remember where his big stand was. Like, I didn't do the research for him, but I remember him. And I think they made him look good. I love the vomit shield. Like, he looked like Zeitgeist. Like, it was good pick on the actor. Granted, like all the other people except Domino, he was only there for moments, right? But I did like Zeitgeist. It's a terrible name. I mean, it's a great name that has nothing to do with his superpower.
Yeah, well, Puke was already taken.
Yeah, yeah, Captain Pukey was all up in there. I think Damon should play Beyonder. He should be Beyonder.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, Zazie Beetz is 27 years old.
Yeah, I looked it up. She is older than my kid, so I'm safe. It's literally by months.
Is that your line of demarcation?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not easy. They're getting younger and he's getting older.
LT, why don't you tell us
about these high school chicks. So,
why don't you tell us about Fire Fist?
They stay
Fire
the same
Fist,
age.
Rusty Collins. So in the film, he is this young child who has been abused by the principal, the schoolmaster, if you will, of the orphanage. In the comic books, he is a totally different character. He is a mutant who he had a horrible discovery of his powers when he was in the Navy. He was at a bar and he suddenly burst into flames and kind of killed some people by accident. And it was in X-Force number one. He was a pyrotechnic. Pyrokinetic. It was kind of the first issue of X-Force.
X-Factor.
Back when it was X-Factor, sorry. When it was the original X-Men posing as the mutant solving team that would come in and take care of your mutant problem and just come in, deal with your mutant problem and take care of it and bring it out and you would not hear the mutant problem again. And that was X-Factor's original tagline and media blitz. And in the film, it was totally different. In the film, he's this kid who's just hitting puberty and suddenly has this mutant power that he's kind of able to control a little bit, whereas in the comics, he initially wasn't able to control it at all. And he was truly a menace to society and to himself. And so it was hugely different. And in the movie, he obviously needed saving by Deadpool because he was headed down a path of vengeance and was going to have problems and he was going to cause issues for the world and was going to cause Cable to lose his family and thus change everything in the world and in Cable's life.
That's certainly just for Cable.
Yeah, mostly just for Cable.
He
was going to change the plot device, that's for sure.
Well, Rusty was a member of the Mutant Liberation Front, and when he was kidnapped by the Friends of Humanity, he was actually rescued by X-Force during the transport of him. So they kind of took that right out of the comics.
Yeah. So from the villain perspective, I got the two big ones. I know. Thank you, Mike. So for our listeners, sometimes when we do these comic to movie comparisons, we depend on Mike to give us our assignments, and Mike does a pretty good job of doling out, at least for me, the people I love. And so the two villains I got here for the that were in the movie and from the comics, the one was first one is Black Tom Cassidy, who has a hilarious racial, not racial undertone to the whole film. Black Tom first appearance is X-Men. He has a pop in X-Men 99 and then a full issue in X-Men 101. He's played by Jack Kesey in the film, who just has a couple of small other parts in the world. In the comic, Black Tom Cassidy has the ability to channel concussive blasts through wood, and he usually carries a traditional Irish fighting stick called a shillelagh. For the other people at home who are just reading this online, it's a shillelagh.
That was actually the name of my sex tape.
I dropped a shillelagh this morning.
Black Tom's most powerful ability really is his friendship with Kane Marco, the Juggernaut. I'll just quickly, for a little while, Kane Marco and Black Tom split the power of the Juggernaut, and they were each half Juggernauts for a bit, each claiming one half of the Ruby of Sidorak, which brings me to my favorite villain. One of my favorite villains of all time. And I can't do a top 10 here and get just one. But the Juggernaut, Kane Marco, who's stepbrother of Charles Xavier, he is a U.S. Army soldier stationed in Korea, and he finds an ancient temple. Inside is a massive ruby called the Ruby of Sidorak, which has the power of an ancient god. And the inscription, "Whosoever touches this gem shall be granted the power of the Crimson Gem of Sidorak. Henceforth, you who read these words shall become forevermore a human juggernaut." And Kane Marco picks that up, becomes an incredibly powerful creature in the Marvel Universe, one of the few completely physical, magically fueled characters anywhere. And I think in any comic, he can actually craft his own armor by pulling magic out of the air and forming armor around him. And he forms a helmet to prevent his stepbrother, Professor X, from affecting him mentally. But Juggernaut is extraordinarily powerful, extraordinarily strong. One of the most resilient characters to damage in the Marvel Universe, and has the power of momentum. Once he starts moving in a direction, he cannot be stopped, except by a couple people in the Marvel's history. But I really love the character. He's just such a great, just primal force in Marvel that he has very simple motivations. Revenge against Professor X. He's a womanizer. He's just he's a villain by proxy for every drunk douchebag you've ever met. And I just love him for it. He's a great character, great powers, and he's been one of the most provocative and stunning characters in Marvel. Love him.
I have a quick question about him, just to ask. And I don't think any of us really know the answer to this, but I think maybe we can come to some sort of a census on this. Does he have the power of momentum? Is it a magical power of momentum, or is it the same power of momentum that a train has? I've always been kind of led to believe that it's like a magical power. Like once he gets moving, nothing can stop the Juggernaut.
Yeah, because he's not just physically resistant to damage. The Sidorak gives him a force field, and that force field is what cannot be stopped. So when Thor actually drains him of his force field with his hammer for a bit, and that takes away that power from him when he doesn't have that force field. So it's actually the magical imprint of Sidorak that cannot be stopped from moving. Also, side notes, first appearance X-Men number 12, where Charles Xavier explains their past and background, and he is voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
How come Vinnie Vincent didn't get to do him again?
I don't know.
Well, there are three interesting things for me about Juggernaut. One, he was an X-Man for a while. He was great when he was trying to reform, and he kept on getting sucked back in. Black Tom was always trying to corrupt him back to the dark side, if you will, which was great. I also love the fact that he was a running gag in She-Hulk of whether she slept with him or not. And at one point, he lost the power of Sidorak. Was it the crystal?
The ruby.
Yeah. And Juggernaut got it. No, not Juggernaut. Colossus.
Yeah, so Colossus has also been Juggernaut at one point, along with Black Tom, Kane Marco, and someone else who I can't remember right now. But yeah, there's been four or five people have had the power of the Ruby of Sidorak. Yeah. But so, yeah, and Colossus was awesome when he had it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he was Colossus and Juggernaut. Yeah.
I am two things.
He is a bad mamma jamba.
He pretty much took out the Avengers. Thor was like, I'll stop him. No, you will not, no. Thor. No, you will not.
Nothing stops the Juggernaut.
Speaking of Colossus, why don't we talk about the X-Men who appear in the comic? You want to talk about Colossus there, Josh?
I've been talking for a while.
Why don't I talk about Brianna Hildebrand, who played Negasonic Teenage Warhead, who was based on a song called Negasonic Teenage Warhead by Monster Magnet, created by Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly. The Ellie Feimister was totally different in the comic book. She starts off as a very goth character. And she is in Genosha being taught on how to manage her telekinetic powers by Emma Frost. For those who don't know, Genosha was an island in the X universe where a bunch of mutants were living. And Cassandra Nova, Charles Xavier's sister, wipes it out. Somehow she managed to survive because of her mental powers. She has telepathy, precognition, and she's also able to warp reality. She's totally different in the movie. However, there are some similarities. She does have a bunch of interactions with Deadpool in the comic books. In fact, she even is part of his Mercs for Money group and takes it over from Deadpool, much to his chagrin later on. But in the movie, they had to change her around. The telepathy really doesn't work. So Marvel cuts a deal with Fox. If you want to use this character and change her powers, you have to give us Ego the Living Planet. So that's why they were able to use Ego in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, even though it's a Fantastic Four character. So she is portrayed as LGBT in the movie. Her girlfriend is Yukio.
I mean, just for my point, the Genosian reference, I love that storyline. That was the allegory for apartheid and just that entire life cycle in the X-Men series was probably one of my – I really like that storyline. That's great stuff. And it actually gave them a great opportunity to bring out some new and interesting characters out that were, you know, quote unquote enslaved in Genosha and bring them into the Marvel universe and really sort of put some fresh blood into the world and have the X-Men sort of be involved in that. It was nice. It's good stuff.
I agree. But on a side note, does Charles Xavier have a single person in his family that just kind of comes over and has a sandwich? Like a cousin or something? Like, hey, nice to see you, Chuck.
Yeah, his problem is it's Jay, and he eats everything.
But he'll lay a towel down, so it's cool.
Point of fact, you might have heard that Jay eats some of
I love you, Jay, if you listen to this podcast.
We said Jay eats all the things.
He can't deny he puts a towel down. He's a gentleman, and we love him for that.
And a scholar. Congratulations on
you. And I can't emphasize this enough. It was my towel. Doesn't count if it's my towel, Jay. You can ask Patim that. I was just talking to him last week. Doesn't count, man.
Doesn't count.
All right, let's get to the end of this movie. It was a terrific ending, I thought. They have to stop the kid from killing the headmaster. Cable, in his magnanimousness, gives Deadpool 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. Really? 30 seconds?
30 seconds?
30 seconds to change the kid's mind, and Deadpool does it. Unfortunately, Deadpool dies in the battle.
I hate this part so bad, I can't even talk about it. The longest death scene
of all time.
Right. And why didn't they just take the fucking collar off? Why were they insisting on letting him die?
Let's presume even for 1 second that the collar could not come off. All Colossus had to do was rip his head off and put it back on.
That was a good point. But Deadpool kind of mentioned that he wanted to die.
So Cable really fucks him then, huh?
Yeah, Cable fucks him over pretty bad. Cable hates that guy. Oh, you want to die? Yeah. I'm going back in time for a second. I'll be right back, asshole.
I see.
And in one of the greatest FUs to Mike Manning of all time, Deadpool goes back in time and stops a young Ryan Reynolds from becoming Green Lantern.
Nailed it.
Even Ryan Reynolds didn't like that movie.
That's right.
You will go down in history and you will die a poor, poor, ugly corpse.
I will stand by that movie saying it did not suck as bad as everybody thought it did.
That is not what you have said in the past, sir.
I was happy to have a Green Lantern movie. And I will stand by that. Happy to have a Green Lantern movie.
That movie.
And I will stand by that I have still not seen that Green Lantern movie.
I found that one dude in San Diego who also liked it, so fuck off.
The one guy in all of San Diego who didn't put the qualifier ahead of.
Yeah, you
it
should.
Was okay.
You guys should put a reunion together or something.
Yeah. You guys should get together.
Yeah, with Ryan Reynolds.
No, he didn't like the movie either, obviously.
We'll convince him.
All right, so. I give the movie a strong B+, even an A-. Mikey?
I still have one more character to talk about.
Don't we all?
Do you?
Yeah, we all do, but we are almost out of bounds for this length. We are skipping shit all over the place.
Every time we do the movie review thing
and Mikey gives us characters, I love these, but wow, they turn out to be goddamn long podcasts. So,
yeah, Blind Aletha was my other character, and she's cool and blind. Moving on. Josh, you want to say one quick thing about your other character?
I had Colossus. That guy is fucking cool.
Yeah. Tommy?
I've got the Weasel. He's got the best origin story in the comic.
And that's good enough for us. And okay. I had Vanessa, who's copycat in the comic book. So go read a book.
Yeah, go read a comic book. Somebody just make that bitch copycat. Fuck! I want her to be copycat in this movie.
And I want her to be alive so bad.
I just thought she was going to touch him and regenerate and be like, whoop! And everyone's going to be like, what? And I was going to be like, what? And Wade was going to be like, what? And she's going to be like, I'm copycat.
Sorry. I touched your girlfriend.
Didn't happen.
How'd you touch my girlfriend? I touched your girlfriend.
Best way possible.
Best way possible.
All right. So let's move on.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We're running real long, guys. Let's do slightly abbreviated versions because I'm always happy to hear what Mike has to say about what's in the front of the long box. Mike, you got a quickie in the front of the long box for us?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend everybody go check out Cable and X-Force. It's a great series. It's got Cable. It's got Domino. It's got Colossus. It's got Dr. Nemesis. It's got Forge as the essential team, and it is, again, Josh, you probably won't like it because it involves time travel,
But I love Forge.
But yeah, you love Forge, and watching Forge create a giant robot to fight Dr. Nemesis's giant robot is well worth the price of admission. Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Super science versus super science.
Super science. Love Forge.
So go check it out if you want. It's a fun series.
All right, thanks. Tommy, what you got in the back of the long box for us?
I got nothing in the back of the long box. I'm going to the front of the long box this week. What? I am going to talk about Elephant Man 2261, The Death of Shorty. That's right.
What? Spoilers. Wow, man. Thanks. Fuck.
Yeah.
Elephant Man 2261, The Death of Shorty. It is fantastic. It is one of the Comixology originals that they announced like a week and a half ago that they're releasing online through Comixology Unlimited. You can also buy it on Comixology. It is just as great as the other Elephant Man comic books, and it tells the story of the death of Shorty, one of the elephant-type elephant men, and it is fantastic. Is that abbreviated enough?
That's well done there, LT. And that brings us to my good friend Josh. Josh, you got a little tangent for us this week?
Nah, we're small. No, we're going long. Let's go to plugs.
All right, let's go straight over to plugs. I'm not wearing one. Anyone?
No.
Right now.
No.
I was really looking forward to Deadpool getting plugged again.
Well, it wasn't International Women's Day.
Damn right it wasn't. Might have come around. but speaking of plugs, Mike, what would you like to plug?
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or buy their tunes over on iTunes or Bandcamp. Also like to thank our fellow podcasters who are nice enough to plug us every once in a while, figuratively, not literally, including Sammy Savage over at Who's Next Gaming, where I can't wait to they're at a major gaming convention right now, so they're going to have reviews on all the new games that are going to be coming out. I can't wait for that. Also, Cheryl Jones over at Movies Made Me, which is an excellent podcast, and our friends over at Nerds Who Get Laid Sometimes. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks. And Sammy Savage probably would plug us, given the chance, or at least he'd have a sex robot do it for us.
Yeah.
Josh. I think he'd have a sex robot do it.
Sure. Josh, what do you have to plug there, buddy?
Go check out the Saber Legion, as I've just become the Massachusetts rep for that institution, a full-contact lightsaber combat league. Also, check out Epic Nerd Camp. It's happening in the Poconos. It's an adult summer camp where we basically all get drunk and hit each other with stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Tommy, what would you like to plug over there, buddy?
I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
Hi, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things.
Tammy and Ian, three of the finest feet I've ever seen in my life.
Such a cute little dog.
Yeah.
They know which one's not part of the group. All right, I just like to plug... what would I like to plug this week? Well, I love my comic book store, Kamikaze, up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Terrific place to get your comic books. Actually, I think technically it's in Somerville. Always a lot of fun to go there. And that place, it's nice.
It's nice.
It's nice.
It's nice.
And I also want to promote the Saber Legion. I am their punching bag. Because God knows I'm not winning anything with these guys. They're too damn good. All right. Well, that does it for us, everybody. Mike, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Awesome. And Josh, the Saber Legion, that obviously is your sector since you're the new president.
Oh, it's my sector.
Oh, it's your sector. And Tommy, what do you got to say for us, buddy?
It's like Shorty just wanted to know why somebody would do that to another elephant man. Why? Why?
You always try to go on a sad note. I just want to – oh, I forgot to plug one quick thing, our Patreon page. Every week we do another podcast called The GOAT Greatest of All Time. This week we had a lot of fun doing traumatic scenes in comic books, some of the worst beatings that superheroes take. That was given to us by our good friend Diane. and we take a good look at some of the worst beating superheroes take, you can go over to our Patreon page. If you go to Patreon.com/maybe/TheLongBoxGuys, and that really helps us out, keeps us going to cons and putting out all these terrific podcasts that we enjoy doing so much for you nice people.
Helps pay for our RSS feeds.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Keeps us drunk. All right, that does it for us, guys. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Try to promote what you love. You're going to live longer. I love you, and have a great day from the Blog Box, guys.
And labor laws again.
First off, when I told him that he was a stupid little fuck for not getting the pages incorrectly, I did not know he was actually a stupid little fuck.